Okay, the story. Beware of the part and all that. Just get it all, I mean... I'm in a new possibility here. I mean, if it really is that way, that... Here comes Peo into the Shadowland. And yes, he has this... He longs for his girl. He finds this place. I didn't really... anticipate that, or rather... He was warned that this is a tricky place to be. But still, it is hard to grasp, to understand how tricky it is, this Maya. So you tend to get in there and, yeah, no problem. I'm just here to help. Or, just going to check it out here. But then, wham, there is Peo, and he is, as we are when we take birth here, mystically, powerfully overwhelmed, conditioned, mentally pushed into this role of a little baby. That's the idea. You wake up in the dream, as I say. So there he is, and we may be a bit worried. And yes, that's what Aina gets, because she loses contact with him. And that was not supposed to happen. So yeah, she realizes she has to follow. So yeah, he takes birth. There in that small, beautiful, nice town. And she enters the same city, not the same country, but far north for some reason. Maybe that reason will be revealed later, because there's something here with this story that has to do with, you know, the Samis or the people up there north. Because several of the ladies who we might suspect could be Aina, because that's the thing, we don't really know at first, or, well, until considerably far into the story, who actually is Aina. And but yeah, but then the not until after 10 years or something does she end up in the same town as Peo, And there she enters next door to him in the classroom, same class. And immediately when he sees her, he falls in love. He thinks, there she is, it's my girl. But she doesn't notice him. And the reason is that they both, in their ways, and that's the tricky thing that makes this story a bit dramatic and mystical and difficult. They are both bewildered by this dreamy Maya. So she gets into the girl thing and he gets into the boy thing. What does that mean? Well, here I am, I'm a beautiful girl, the boys like me, and look, the big boys like me, and that's the way it goes. And he is, well, in his way, not so much chasing girls, he was just looking for his girl. But he has his problems. And for him it's rather not problem of finding his girl because of this. But then he goes, I mean, he is selfish, he is not caring much about how he lacks the feelings for others. He's into his things. He's a little bit, you could say, protected from getting too entangled. Little, as some say, floating above or outside. So he doesn't read signals, social codes so well and so on. Yeah, maybe he's a bit aspy or something that they call it. Introvert, maybe, some others call it. So it's a bit of a challenge, this whole thing, because it takes him 21, 22 years or so before he gets out of that, just me, I mean mine. And wants to do good for the world and all that. And then still, it's so tricky, this whole thing, but it takes him almost 50 more years before he actually gets down to it and starts to become ready to commence on his mission in life, the reason why he came. Of course, from the viewpoint of the real world outside there, that's nothing really, but within that human life time span, it's half a life more. So here he is, he's 70. So that can be his story. I mean, it's a, has its heavy sides to it, and he goes down there dark as well. Now, why isn't any angel or whoever mercifully waking both of them up there at age 10 or 12? After that, they don't meet until age 22 or so. 10 years later. Why? Well, let's think about it. If they would become a couple then, he is a selfish one, very mature, introvert, so on. She's girlish. Has her needs that way. And both are still rather covered by the dream of the world. And they got things to learn, each one on their side. I don't know. Yeah, maybe one thing that they have to learn. Oh, this is actually good for him, at least. That yes, path of love, right? So they're seeking love, of course, and each other really, but they don't know who that who Raina is, who One is. So we are at PU here. So yeah, part of the story, or the main storyline here, is learning to love. And we see their old PO and his 60-something and plus up there, how he learns that by trial and error. Actually, his whole life there. Every girl he tries and meets, and all the mistakes he makes. And you can see there so clearly his selfishness, his bewilderment. But behind it there, his sincere search for love. Of course, he gets what he deserves, the girls he deserves, but also it's a bit of a hero's journey. Challenges one after another. So in his life is kind of simple. But he's a creative person, so that's the positive things in his life: music, art, writing, movies, and all of that which he wants to do. So that kind of leads him on an inspiration path through life. And then there is also very central his search there, his longing for his girl, for his lady. That he's not complete. And I mean, we can anchor that very well in the ontology of this Shingon Bhagavatam and so on, but the coward boys, coward girls, and you know, they come in two couples. So of course, this is something that others may also, certainly also, can identify with. Nothing strange. So, but for him, that especially strong, but also challenging, and he's kind of a little envious of others who just, you know, even being born in a village somewhere, finds their natural partner for life, as if we are being sent here in couples as well, to help each other, stand by each other. But he can't find her. And that, of course, is one of the themes and the challenges in his storyline. And then the other one, third one, is the main mission he has here. He came here to help. Lightening up the shadows of the world here. And do something, and each one has something to do to help. Oh gosh. He gets the name of an old mythological king who lit up the night. So, yeah, but then he has to maneuver, and we take him now first, through this shadowland where love is hardly there anymore. People don't believe in it anymore because it turned into just sex and exploitation, and you know how the boys talk about the girls in school, and he couldn't really identify with it, but he felt it felt strange. But then he, of course, had to be with the guys and follow with the ways that guys are, he became like that himself, started talking like that. And then he was going to move to the big city. And he had a pen pal, Maria. This is all based on reality. And it was so amazing because they got had such a nice male conversation that they fell in love with each other that way. And he thought, wow, this is beautiful. They moved up there. And all of a sudden, as it came up, there it felt very small, very small town. And that was a big challenge for him, especially since she was a big city girl and she'd rejected him because he was a small towner. She even told it straight out in a fine big city girl way. Completely different. Dimension or league that are pale. Suddenly found himself in. Big challenge, but it toughened him. And he was good looking, the girls were around there, but he was looking for his girl and no one really felt right. So that was kind of just life going on. And then he met and made friends with this Mephistophelian type of narcissistic upper class boy from the fine parts of town. Who kind of pulled him into, this is very interesting, because from when he moved up to Stockholm, I mean, this is just my life, really, I'm basing this on, fantasy. Then what he felt comfortable with was the kind of, I don't know if you call it leftist or alternative, the young people, I guess the descendants of the hippies, the 70s, long-haired, bearded, Palestina, I call it, these kind of, solidarity, we should work together, it should not be equality, of course, we should not on top of each other and exploit each other, all of that. And he felt comfortable in that. And that's also where he met that girl that he then fell in love with through as a pen pal through mail. I mean, naively. But it was cute as long as it lasted. But they met through a magazine which was of that kind. Folketebild Kulturfront. So that made him very disappointed, because then something wasn't really as beautiful and rosy as he had thought. And then he made friends with his Rob, actually, who then pulled him into another, darker, more cynical big city life. And maybe that, which to some extent was one of the, to say, aftermaths of this, or signs of the death of this old, nice, friendly, equality hippie, and so on. It was even the opposite. There were even certain attractions to fascism and these kind of the genius rules and the powerful, but it was more and this robs into all these poets, old ones that well, you found these in nature and so on. It's a different mood that then Pio picked up. You do get influenced by your friends, especially when they are. Charming and, how to say, well-spoken, narcissistic persons. But then, of course, which Pio then realized, at age 19, often turn out not to be the good best friend at all, as they seem to be. But having underlying agendas, hidden agendas. And one of that agenda then was Rob to seduce Pia's girlfriend, which she did. In the most cruel way you could, but for him, what probably seemed like an artistic accomplishment, a piece of art in the cynical social world there, that big city. Now this led Pio, of course, into even more disappointment, and he became cynical. He started treating women badly, a little bit, not that much. But there was a darkness coming over him. And so on. And now we are down, he's 21 or something, 20, and he's down sometimes in the dungeons, dark ladies floating around there, flirting. But he has this protection there from within somehow. No, don't go with her. And yes, good he didn't. She was a junkie. Good he didn't. She was a prostitute who became, and so on. So and I'm just going quickly through Pio's storyline here. And of course that led him to gradually realize that this is not my place, and he wanted real love, because where is love here? There is no love. And Rob's the cynical, basically, and several of his friends, yeah, there is no love, it's just selfishness, actually, but we can pretend that it makes it nicer, you know, that kind of thing. So he didn't feel, there must be love somewhere, he didn't feel that was right, this. And then he ended up in that Krishna temple. And there he again met that girl from his class in school, who he were in love with when he was 10 years old. And what had she gone through up till then? Probably a drama of her own. And then, yeah, he is a monk and he's learning and he's... And then being a brahmacharya is good. You learn character development, you learn... It's like spiritual military training. So he went through that long time, 20 years. Basically learning. Also teaching a bit, but and learning to serve unselfishly humans of the world. So this is where his mission is being given to him from his teacher and his guru, his spiritual master, Prabhupada. Who is there still above, helping, guiding these wild kids, but then also, you know, they start playing gurus and some are being treated as being as great as him, but he looks down upon the same of. They are like children, all of them. So we show that we have more reality there, a great difference between him and all the young Western kids who don't know nothing really. It appears being trained. Both in philosophy and the lifestyle and all of that, which it really is about. I mean, which gives him the answers to his questions of life. But But also, it takes time. It's still not about, you know, you come, there's no love in this world, that Heyman wrote a song like that, so easily turns into hate. The only real love is the love of God. But then he realized as he goes on that God tells us we should love each other as well. We're all parts of God, so love is there between all of us. It's the universal principle. Cosmic constant. So he gradually learns that it takes time. He has to grapple with all kinds of the more impersonalist renunciation and all that hardness of the yogis. He meets all kinds of such people. Interpretations of what the spiritual path is about gives us an opportunity to bring up such little philosophical questions. But here, Brahmeti, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, Itisabati, he feels at home in this personalist. Yes, I'm a person, God is a person, we are all persons, not that we just merge into some boring, impersonal energy. He never liked that. Being a Buddhist monk sitting, listening to the sound of a bell, it wasn't his thing. So he's out there, he's a creative and he's using his artistic abilities. But mainly he is serving his teacher and master and God. Then one day he's like kicked out and finds himself on his own. But also we have this whole thing there with love, family, wife, children, love. The children comes and a friend of him, of his, says to him, sends him a greeting and says that when I got my child, I learned from him what love is, and so will you. And yes, it took 20 years, but yes, that woman wasn't his girl either. They both realized that rather soon, but kept going. Who knows, maybe in the future we will be. In any case, it's her last chance to get a child, so maybe that's the purpose of it. It became two. So we can see on his storyline there, learning to love. And I mean, this is This is a story because then those three ladies appear as he has started to prepare himself for being a monk again, announced sannyas, you know, that kind of thing. And those three stories, or stories in themselves, they are already told here somewhere in all the little snippets and recordings. And as we know, nothing really became of them, and he never really expected it either, but he had to go through it anyway, give it a chance, see what, you know, maybe there is something to this, or at least there's something to learn. So this time he didn't fall for it completely, but still, being a man with those weaknesses that sometimes men have for women, he fell for it anyway to some extent, and it was a bit tough. One time, two times, three times. And then the third time it became almost humoristic. And so evident that someone was behind some all of this and teaching something, not just to him, but to the ladies involved. So, which also gave him a realization that, hey, we're part of a bigger game here. I mean, this drama going on here is, there's a director behind it, or game designer, or whatever, who's beautifully allowing us to choose our paths, but still, especially when you are here to help out, not just to enjoy, gradually teaching and directing his, her children, servants, beloved ones, carefully in the way to do that which they are here to do, but also in their own way. It's a fascinating play, this. So he starts to realize that, and he starts to write that story. Because his whole life and this whole world, he can see now, is a story. So it's a big story to write, but as he was told when he stepped into that temple the first time, if you surrender to God, God can make you do things that you couldn't otherwise do. So he remembers that. And here he is now, 70. And those children, his two sons, are grown up, stepping out into the world, living their own lives. Well, at first, it gets very tough. We are down there in darkness again. First it was hell. Back there in the late 90s. Because yes, he had behaved bad to towards God's devotees and beloved servants. So he got to suffer for that and learn. And his heart had become hard. He could feel it encapsulated within, as if rock. So crack, it was viciously cracked, because that was the only way to do it. Some years later, he went to a healer. Well, he was sent to that healer by destiny, unfortunately. It happened a couple of times in his life. He didn't seek that. And she asked him a strange question while she was treating him. You want the ordinary way or the turbo way? He just answered intuitively, I guess, the turbo way, which he got, and that was heavy as well. Now we're talking around 2005 and forward, early 2000s. But she said other things too, and the other medium also, indicating, giving hints of his mission, that he had something important to do in this life. Yeah, he then 2014 beginning, that wife wants a divorce, and there is a divorce, which he takes as, yeah, vanaprastha, it's time to move on, and each one separately. And well, he handles that, and he gets an apartment in a nearby town or suburb or so. And strangely enough, in that, I mean, his neighbor, he knows of two neighbors that he knows before living in that. By coincidence, this next to him, and it is that woman who was his classmate back when he was 10 up to 12. And who he then met when he stepped into that Krishna temple. ...35 years or so earlier. And her daughter, living there as well, in another apartment. And he found these coincidences a bit mystifying, and thought maybe I should, you know, invite them for. Something, but he had nothing really, and it was just a mad artist inventor studio, hardly furnished, or, you know, so he forgot about that. And he struggled on. With his 9-year-old boys, trying to be a good father, got a full-time job for the first time in his life when he was 61. 2016, right? And work, taking care of home, the boys, himself, and writing, taking his walks, sometimes visiting the temple, and there, yes, occasionally bumping into that woman who is now aging as him, his old classmate that he was in love with when he was 10. Why weren't they friends now? I mean, after all, they found themselves standing next to each other there in front of Radha and Krishna, and it felt kind of nice and natural. And she asked for a ride, she drove her home, and they were talking and chatting, and it just felt natural. And there they were, stopping the car outside of her house, and he almost kind of waited if she would ask him in, but she didn't. So, fine. And but now he was in this sannyas mood. It's enough for me with this women business, with this life. So that's and she had been the wife, the former wife of one of his best friends who he still used to meet now sometimes. So there were connections here and there, and you didn't notice them until you started looking at the big picture. And another friend is one of the few that he still had, you know, were friends with, you could say, some kind of friends. Was also a friend of them before, when they were young, same generation, growing up, similar society, small town in the same area of Sweden, towns. There's something here, if you're looking at this objectively, these stories, I think you may see and suspect there is something, connections beyond the random coincidence. But Apeel, he becomes more and more. Now he is 70, and he's thinking about how he takes sannyas when he's 75, and he anticipates future, maybe up to 20 years, 25, whatever. alone, peacefully working, creating, writing, because now he can actually, when the boy is moved out and he's retired, has a pension, he can actually do that creative work that he wanted to do then when he was started to do when he was 20 or something, but which he then thought, sitting down there one day in his armchair at age 22, summer 77 or something, I don't know what to say. I'm doing my art to tell something, but I want to know what to tell. Something good that can benefit many people. That's how he felt. And he realized that now, at age 70, he knew what to tell. And now he has time to do it. So yeah, he turns back to his creative nature and path. The artist appears again with new fantastic tools, not just that easel with the oil paint, which he always felt was limited medium. That's why he looked into the world of multimedia, music, opera, stage, imagery, and films, if that would have been possible. And now it was all possible. So here he is. And then, a couple of months after the boys moved out, things are calming down, peaceful. He feels very, well, he can relax. It takes time. To get used to the fact that no one is demanding anything anymore from you. Just as it was back then, when you were 20. Yes, that's a nice feeling. And that's where he is, he's happy. But it's something undefined, missing. He doesn't even know what it is. And yes, sometimes that thought comes up again. Maybe it has something to do with woman. Can't get away from it. And he's asking sometimes, and he's telling himself and telling his Gandharika Giridhara that, no, I had enough of all this, and I'm now just your servant. And the only way that I'm going to get involved with a woman again is if it's your desire and if it's for real. Just imagine if my soulmate, but that's not possible. Looked my whole life, but if I hadn't found her in my whole life, then come on. I'm 70, that time is over. The time of women. So he's talking like this, actually sitting in front of his altar to his goddess and God, and talking like that, especially to the goddess, because women are, of course, her daughters. And it's fine. And he accepts that, yes, why? Actually, he says to himself, I hope she is not here, because this is not a nice place to be. Especially not for a woman. Ugh. And the world is hard and dark, and there's violence and exploitation and all kinds of things, illusions. So yeah, I'll just finish my work and then leave, and we'll meet again in a nicer place. And yes, he puts down everything and just sits there in front of Radha and Krishna, in front of his altar, satisfied and peaceful. And then again, as has happened every time when he has done this, something happens. Again, as if it's some voice and inspiration, strong one from inside, telling him, maybe she's in this world. And there is a way you could, if not find out, so at least get a little bit of a clue. And what is it? Well, a friend of his is, and he's convinced of it now, in his old age, becoming somewhat of a mystic. And he told Pio that, actually, I have connections with my guides and higher up there, getting good advice. And Pio says, yes, I have also that, I think. So they're becoming good friends, and he hesitates at first. I don't want now to get him involved in this and make a fool out of myself again. He just drops a little greeting. How's life? And immediately gets the answer or a call on the phone. So they speak on the phone about all kinds of things. Nice conversation. And at the end, by the way, Pio asks about this. Could you maybe do me a favor? You have your connections to the spirits there above. Could you ask them if, you know, my soulmate, my lady, is present in this world or not? I just want to know. That's all I want to know. And his friend at first hesitates. You know, it's not my for me or for us or them to say, to reveal our destinies. Then it wouldn't be fun, right? And of course, Pio completely agrees with that and accepts that, sure, why even ask? Life is meant to be lived and learned from. But then all of a sudden, his friend says, but she is here. And Pio says, what? You mean in this earthly realm now? Yeah. Came the answer, and that was it. They continued talking about other things, hung up, and there Pio sat, a little bit bewildered, even a bit disturbed, because he had now really accepted, and to his relief almost, that she's not here. And he almost hoped for that answer, because that meant that now he can just peacefully and confidently finally take that big vow. Well, whatever it was, Kshetra Sannyas, dedicating one's body, speech, mind and words to the service of the Sankirtan movement, to the service of God's mission on earth. And sannyas, of course, generally meant nothing to do with women anymore. And of course, if you spend most of your time at home, then you avoid them. And all these, this mussy social life out there, which we here were so fed up about anyway. But now just a few friends meeting now and then who are on the same wavelength. Life is good. But now that again was disturbed. If, well, he had a choice, he could just conclude or presume that his friend had just said so, because that's a nice answer. Yes, you shouldn't be coming along. There is someone for you. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, of course, friends speak like that. At first, he took it that way. But then, next day, he felt he just can't go on like this, just ignoring things because they don't fit within the comfort zone. So, well, could it be her? Could it be her? He went through those that he had had relationships to in the past, because that's the feeling he had, and he got that kind of message from within years ago. 5 years ago or something, that yeah, maybe someone there, and who could that be? Well, maybe it is someone you know, came the little mystical answer there, which he thought came from his mother who had left this world, and who was now an angel and sometimes interfering a little bit here and there. He was kind of sure of that now. So yeah, yeah, Mom, that's how you said last time too, get yourself a woman, son. But anyway, it came from some brighter place there, so whether it's Mama or Super Soul, then what, maybe should take that seriously. So that's what it instigated his strange exploration for those coming years, 5 years that had now passed. And here he was again. But he was bewildered, and he thought, oh yeah, of course, it could be her, the one that one of the few women that I just never could stand physically, mentally. But then God put me together with to help each other on the spiritual path. And yes, she showed up again, as usual, trying to again come in and get some space in his life, which he now just said, wait, got other things to do. Because yes, now he felt the time was over when he was living for others. He was now going to live his life, do what he wanted to do, what he was supposed to do for the time he has left here. And yes, a woman means you are serving, and there are expectations and all that. So he is in this kind of little turmoil again, mentally. What about if it's her? Oh, then it will become like that. And if it's her, then he has realized by now that he doesn't even want any of those anymore. It wouldn't, I mean, those times are over. It wouldn't go well. So there he is, and it's October 2025. And he's sitting there writing, and sometimes just playing . He sees an old reel-to-reel tape recorder and some picture on social media, whatever, and he remembers his first tape recorder, the Philips reel-to-reel that he got when he was 10 from his father. Thank you, Dad, if I didn't thank you before, he says to himself, because that tape recorder meant everything to him, to that 10-year-old boy. Through that tape recorder, he got in contact with the world, a world that was his world. The world that you found there in pop music. There was something, there was a youth movement, there were young people there doing this kind of cool music, and there was a different lifestyle, there was a fun, free life going on, and not the boring, on-rail life that his parent lived. As he saw it, parents. And it all was in that tape recorder where he could record every Saturday at 3 o'clock TUI Top, 10 in Top on Swedish radio. And he figured out how to connect that tape recorder with a cable to that radio and record it high quality. And then he listened to those songs, the latest weekly top list, where they played all the songs complete, the whole week, constantly. And he read about those bands and those cool guys, and girls as well. And he dreamed about that world, because that was his world. He got Beatles shoes, he got long hair, first one in town almost, the old the men, they teased him, "Are you a boy or a girl? Aha." But he stood it, withstood it, because this is how he was. He had found his life, and there were one other boy, friend of him, another one who joined in that pop world. And there was hope. There was life. So after quite some searching, he found out the model of it, found pictures of it, and even he couldn't resist, sat down and made a 3D model of it in Blender. It is almost finished and almost photographically exactly correct. And as he did that, he remembered. He was like pulled back into age 10, 11, 12, where that tape recorder meant so much to him. He was in that room, touching those buttons that he was now modeling and remembering feelings, even smells. His father's cigarette, which was more or less subtly always pervading the apartment, and so many things. It was like a regression, going back into being there. And he picked up his photo album where he remembered having a photograph, including that tape recorder, and he managed to, from that photograph, figure it out and make that model. And then getting sucked back into that childhood, 10-year-old, fourth class, fifth, sixth, the music. And he found these school class pictures from that time, a couple of pages later in his album, and stopped at one from the sixth grade, the last one he had, because it was the best one. And it was a good picture. Everyone in the class were smiling and laughing, looking so innocent and so nice. He took a picture of it, uploaded it to a social media group where people in his hometown were, and it got appreciated, and old classmates came forward and were happy. And he wondered why it felt so much, so strongly, the memories from especially this time, 10 years, 11, 12, 13. And he asked his AI bot, who said that this time, the preteen, is probably the most important fundamental years of one's life, because it's just before puberty, or when puberty sets in and you kind of wake up in this world, and what role am I going to have? And he realized also that those little kids when you fall in love at that age, you find your girl or your boy, that can be very, very strong. And he'll remember now. And he looked at the kids there one by one. And down there, on the lower row, sitting on chairs, two persons or so to the right of him, who stood above there. She sat, that girl who he fell in love with when he was 10 in fourth grade. And he now remembered that love to him was serious. He was convinced that this is my girl. We'll be together for life now. If I found her, that's it. Good, great, fine. Thank you, God. But she had been totally disinterested in him. And that had been painful for him. And he had forgotten, almost forgotten that pain and the drama that he went through there inside himself privately. Because he has a bit of an introvert, he was. And maybe is again, but with another side to him also. So he sat there looking, and others, boys and girls, wondering about their lives, what happened to him and her. He took the picture and he sent it to his friend, because now this girl who he was in love with when he was 10 was still his friend somehow on social media. They exchanged a couple of words now and then, and he had even mentioned that he was in love with her back then. Almost embarrassing for him to admit or reveal. And she immediately said that, I knew that. We girls know such things. Which he also found interesting and curious. And so he sent her the photograph, the class school photo. Maybe she already had it, but nice anyway. Little greeting, and then saw that it was her birthday day before, or even that day. Added a little birthday greeting. And yes, nice. Then started thinking, what's going on here? And as of these words being spoken, the speaker, who actually is the one experiencing all these things, which are accurately described based on reality, Pio's reality, or, well, which happens to be the author's reality, well, you may see something here. that the protagonist of this story cannot see. And he, well, I still doesn't know that, says this because actually he thinks maybe so. How would someone else who hears this story look at this? Well, Theo, it took some days off, as he calls it, rather on, for introspection and meditation, doing his self-therapy, self-hypnotherapy sessions, deep meditations, which is so nice to do sometimes, and healing. But also for exploring and seeking oneself deeper in life, answer to questions. Well, he of course thought of her now and then, hesitated a day or two, but he realized, come on, we keep bumping into each other and have done so for 60 years. Maybe at least we should be friends more than just on social media. So he drops her a little note. Maybe get together someday, have a cup of something and talk a little. I guess the answer that, yeah, that would be very nice. And in some way they, because they happen to take walks, much in the same, not only in the same city where they live now, each one in their suburb, but all of them living in, one in the southern suburb and another one in the northeast suburb, they just happen to like to take walks in the southern downtown. And when discussing meeting place, they somehow or other come up with a cafe, which used to be, it's a classical one in town, which used to be the one just next door to where Peel lived. His home street, as he called it. For most of his years in Stockholm before he became a monk. So these were his hoods. And that's where they are going to meet again. Interesting that it happened to just be there. Because at this time, Pio is also, apart from being meditating on his young pop years of 10 to 12 or 13, as much meditating on his years, 20, 21, 22, when he was living there in that apartment on that street, just next to that cafe. And where he felt inspired in many ways and strong and free and independent and ready to start his creative career, actually already in it. And when he remembers that, those years, well, that helped him to free himself from the stress and the burden of, you know, you can habitually take on such burdens of living with lots of demands on you and judgment and dissatisfaction. But that's another story. So, but he was here now at age 70, free and in peace again, no one putting any demands on, and free and feeling inspired to continue his creative mission in life. And there, all of a sudden, he finds himself back to that street in a cafe, meeting that girl who is now a 70-year-old woman. And he has no idea what's going to happen. Or, well, he has, of course, many ideas. But which of them or how it will happen, he has learned by now that, well, your ideas is one thing, but then what happens, happens. And that we will see later in this story.